packs. There were small plaques for the animals to view, which specify the reasons why they're locked in the chimpanzoo. If you're boisterous and bumptious, you're grist for the chimpanzoo. If you're overly rambunctious, you're whisked to Timbuktu. Laughs, laughs, is nothing but laughs, but you know who's laughing at who. It's the animals there who giggle and stare at you in the chimpanzoo. It takes a lot of talent and time to become a West End attraction, but in this place one rude remix gets a marvelous reaction. Laughs, laughs, nothing but laughs, but you know who's laughing at you. It's the animals there who giggle and stare, gape with glee incredulously at the boisterous, bumptious, rowdy crew. The chimpanzoo.
Good morning. How's it going, everybody? Today's topic is culture. We have stories from around the world. We're going to start it off with a story from right here in the United States entitled Grandmother Spider Brings the Sun by Gary Keems, illustrated by James Bernardin, and it's a Cherokee story. Goes a little something like this. A long time ago, it is said that half the world had the sun, but the other side of the world was very dark. It was so dark that all the animals were always bumping into each other and getting lost. Wolf lived on the side of the world. He was tired of everybody bumping into him and asking him for directions, for you see, Wolf could see in the night. Wolf gathered all the animals together in a big cave. He got up in front of them and crossed his arms, and he said,
I'm tired of everyone bumping into me and asking me for directions. I have an idea, he said. I think we should go to the other side of the world and ask them for a piece of their sun. I think if we're nice, they will give us a piece.
Another animal jumped in. This was Coyote, known as the trickster because he lies and cheats and steals. Coyote said,
No. I think we should be not so nice. If they're so nice, how come they haven't offered us a piece of their sun?
The other animals nodded in agreement.
I have a better idea, Coyote said. I think we should sneak over there and just steal a piece.
Steal a piece? Said Wolf. What are you talking about, Coyote?
Calm down, Coyote said. We're not going to steal a big piece. We'll only steal a little piece. They'll never even miss it.
And that is what they decided to do. Then all the animals began asking, who's going to go to the other side of the world, and how will they get there? Everybody had an idea, but none seemed quite right. Then, from the back of the room came a small voice.
Hey, I'll go.
Wolf said,
Who's that?
Come down here, I can't see you.
Down to the front of the room came a little round animal with chubby cheeks. He was shy and quiet. He stood up in front of all the animals. As he looked at all those hundreds of eyes looking back at him, he got kind of scared. He looked over the crowd of animals and he said in his timid voice,
Hi, my name is Possum. I think I can go to the other side of the world. You see, I've got these long, sharp claws and I think I can dig a tunnel. And when I go all the way to the other side of the world, I'll take a piece of the sun and I'll hide it in my big, bushy tail.
And Wolf said,
Oh, a tunnel. That's the best idea yet.
So Possum went to the big wall of dirt at the back of the cave, stuck in his sharp claws, and began to dig and dig and dig and dig, faster and faster and faster and faster and faster, and then Possum disappeared into the tunnel, and soon he had gone all the way to the other side of the world. Now Possum had never seen the sun before, so when he popped out the other side, the light hit his eyes and he was blinded. His eyes got all squinty and he rubbed them with his dirty fist, saying, "Hey, I can't see!" Well, you know, Possum's eyes have been squinty and ringed with dirt ever since. Possum struggled over to the sun, took a little piece, and put it inside his big old bushy tail. Then he turned around and came running back down the tunnel. Possum ran faster and faster and faster and faster and faster. And something started to get hot inside his tail, but Possum just kept running faster and faster. That something got hotter, and Possum kept running faster, and soon he ran into the room where all the animals were waiting. They all saw smoke coming out of his tail, and they screamed, "Possum, your tail, your tail!" And they threw water on him. And then the light was gone. When the smoke had cleared, Wolf looked up and said,
"Oh no, Possum. Look at your tail. It's all skinny."
And you know, Possum's tail has been this way ever since. Wolf said,
"We still don't have any sun. What are we going to do now?"
A loud voice came from the back of the room.
"Send me. I'll go."
Down to the front stormed a large bird with long black feathers all over his body and a crown of feathers on top of his head. He held his head high and stuck his chest out as he marched importantly past the other animals. You see, this bird was a show-off. He thought he was the most beautiful bird alive. He stood up in front of all the animal people and he said,
"It's me, Big Bad Buzzard. I'll go to the other side of the world, and it won't take me long at all. But I wouldn't be so dumb as to hide that light in my tail. I'm gonna hide it in my beautiful crown of feathers."
Buzzard jumped into the tunnel and soared through the darkness, and it didn't take long at all until he came out the other side. Buzzard took a little piece of the sun, put it inside his crown of feathers, turned around, and soared back down the tunnel faster and faster and faster and faster. As he came back down the tunnel, something started to get hot on the top of his head. Buzzard soared faster and faster. Something got hotter and hotter. Faster he soared, and soon he came into the room where all the animals were waiting. They looked up, and they saw smoke coming from Buzzard's head.
"Oh no, Buzzard, your head! Your head!"
And then they got water, and whoosh! And the light went out. Wolf looked up and said,
"Buzzard, you're bald!"
All of Buzzard's feathers crackled and fell down to the ground. Big Bad Buzzard got so shy and quiet that he ran and hid in the back of the room. And you know, Buzzard has been bald ever since. And he still doesn't like anybody looking at him.
Wolf said, "Possum burned his tail off, and now Buzzard's bald, and we still don't have any sun. What are we going to do now?"
A tiny voice from up above said, Wolf looked around, but he couldn't tell where the voice was coming from.
"Who is that? Where are you? Come down where I can see you."
Down from the corner of the ceiling squeaked a tiny voice.
"Send me!"
And right there in front of the wolf landed a tiny spider. The spider looked up, and Wolf looked down, and Wolf said,
"Oh, no, not you, Grandma. You can't go to the other side of the world. You're too old. And besides, you're too slow."
Well, this was Grandmother Spider. She had done many things to help the animals in her long life. She crossed her little arms and said,
"I know I'm old. You don't have to tell me I'm old, but I want to help my people one more time. I need a piece of clay about so big, and you'll get me a piece, won't you, son?"
Wolf went and got Grandmother Spider a piece of clay, and she sat in the middle of the room and began to chant. Soon, she she had worked the clay into a little bowl. She picked up the beautiful clay bowl and disappeared into the tunnel. They said it took Grandma Spider a long, 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 long time to get to the other side of the world. The sun guards were out now. They knew somebody was trying to steal some of their sun, and they stood in a tight circle around it. They weren't going to let anybody through. The sun guards were mean-looking monsters. They had fire coming out of their heads. They had fire coming out of their mouths. Shh, and they held their weapons ready for a fight. But Grandmother Spider was so tiny that they didn't even see her. She sneaked between them, went up to the sun, took a little piece, put it in her clay bowl, and sneaked back past the sun guards. She came back down the tunnel very slowly. It took her a long, 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 long time to get to her side of the world. And as she got closer, something happened. The light inside her bowl began to grow. The little rays stretched out of the bowl. As she came out of the tunnel into the cave, the ball of light was growing. She could hardly even carry it. All the animals came running to help Grandmother Spider. Blind Possum and the Bald Buzzard, Wolf and Coyote, and Bear and Deer, and all the others. But that ball of light just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and it got so big that the animals had to squeeze it out of the cave. And as it squeezed out into the world, it bounced up into the sky. Boing! It is said that from that day on, whenever Grandmother Spider would spin her web, the shape of the sun would be at the center. And you see, Grandmother Spider spins her web that way to this very day. The end. One of my favorite things about that story is the illustrations by James Bernardin. I would encourage you to hit up your local library and check it out. Next up on our list is a story by a good friend of mine, Venkat. He's reading one of his childhood memories called The Big Lion and the Rabbit.
Always leave him laughing, they say.
Hey everyone, the story I'm going to tell you today is from an ancient Indian text called the Panchatantra. The Panchatantra was written by a sage named Vishnu Sharma and is said to have been dated back to 3rd century BC. This text is an interwoven series of colorful short stories for children, many of which involve animals exhibiting typical animal stereotypes. The stories illustrate the principle of niti. Niti roughly means prudent worldly conduct or the wise conduct of life. So here's a story from the Panchatantra titled The Big Lion and the Little Rabbit. Once upon a time, there lived a big lion in the jungle. Every day he hunted and killed many animals to satisfy his hunger. The animals were worried that one day none of them would be left alive. They all decided to go to the lion and find a solution to this problem. When the lion saw the animals approaching, he was very happy, as he thought he would not have to take the trouble to hunt. He could just kill all the animals together once and for all. One of the animals stopped him and pleaded that he listen to what they had to say first. He went on to explain that as the lion was the king of the jungle and all the other animals were his subjects, the lion would not be a king at all if he killed all his subjects. He would have no one to rule over. He suggested that if the lion stayed home, one animal would surrender itself each day as food for the lion. The lion agreed to this offer on the condition that if they ever failed to send him an animal, he would go on a killing spree and kill all of them. From then on, each day, an animal was sent to the lion and the lion was pleased. One day it was the turn of the little rabbit to sacrifice his life to provide food for the lion. This little one did not want to be the lion's meal. He thought of a plan that would save his life as well as the lives of all the other animals of the jungle. The rabbit slowly made his way to the lion's den. The lion was pacing up and down, extremely hungry. He was furious when all he saw was a little rabbit. He wanted to kill all the animals in a rage. The rabbit timidly explained that the animals had actually sent him 6 rabbits, but 5 of them were killed and devoured by another lion. The lion roared in anger. He wanted to know who the other lion was, who dared to steal his food. The rabbit stuttered that it was a very big lion. He had warned the other lion not to eat him, as the king would be very angry and definitely come to fight him. The rabbit went on to say that the other lion he had called his majesty an impostor and had challenged him to prove who was actually the king of the jungle. The lion was furious. He asked the rabbit to take him to the other lion as he wanted to kill him. The little rabbit led the lion to a well and told him the other lion was in there. The lion peered into the well and saw his own reflection. He thought it was the other lion. He let out a huge roar which echoed back at him. He immediately jumped into the well to attack what he thought was the other lion. The lion dashed his head against the rocks and drowned. The jubilant little rabbit returned to other animals to spread the good news. So the lesson we learn from the story that if properly applied, the power of wisdom and wit can win over physical power.
I know that Venkat has a particularly strong accent, so I hope you didn't have too much trouble understanding him. If you did, there's another version of the story on YouTube. Just YouTube Lion and the Rabbit, and it has music to it. Next up, we've got a story from the country of Ghana, read by the illustrious Nana Horn, professor of literature at Santa Fe College. I had the pleasure of meeting with her the other day, and she shared with me this story from her childhood called The Black Eyed Peas Story, also known as How Anansi the Spider Got a Small Head. But first, right before that, I'm going to share with you this awesome video and music that I found online of this two years and 10 month old kid playing the tabla. This next one's kind of dear to my heart. My favorite movie growing up was Disney's Jungle Book, and it's a little song by Sterling Holloway, who played the voice of Ka, the python.
long time ago, there was famine. There was hardly any food anywhere. And so everybody was in distress. And the things that normally people would turn up their noses at, even those were in high demand because they were so scarce. One fine day, Anansi was so hungry after really becoming desperate about getting food, comes up with a brilliant idea. His wife's people are among the rich in the town. And everybody knows that when most people are on a daily basis eating beans and cassava and stuff like that, they usually eat goat and yams and, you know, the best of foods. And so he decided to pay them a visit. He was so sure he would get food to eat. So Anansi gets up, he really takes time dressing because he also is a proud man and does not want to give any impression that he is desperate like everybody else. So he dresses really nicely like he's going to a party and shows up at his in-law's house. The mother-in-law wasn't in. The father was there. The father-in-law was home. So he was just enjoying the quiet of his wife being gone when he heard a knock on the door. He opens it. There is Anansi dressed to kill. It's like, hey, Anansi. Long time no see. Sometimes I even forget you are in the same town with us. Oh, you know, I'm such a busy person, and I have a busy life. That's why I don't show up as often as I do. Well, come on in. The father-in-law offers him water. Says, you know, I would have given you something better, but these days, everything is so scarce. But thank God we have water. So Anansi takes the water. Of course, when you go into somebody's home, they ask you, Amanie, you have to tell them what news you're bringing and also bring them up to speed on, you know, when they last saw you. So Anansi and his father-in-law are talking, and Anansi is like, oh, well, you know, I'm so busy. Even now that most people don't have any game, you know me, I have game. So I'm on my way to, you know, there's something going on, and I need to be there. Like, hey, as for you young people, you're always finding things to keep you busy. Now, what's going on? I said, nothing too big, but it's really, you know, something that I need to be at. And since I had to pass your house to get there, I decided to stop for a little bit to say hello. Oh, Anansi, don't leave. We have some black eyed peas cooking. In fact, it's done. Is just simmering at this point just to keep it warm. So since you're leaving before my wife comes, let me serve you some. Oh no, you know I don't eat black eyed peas. Black eyed peas is for poor people. I'm sure that you, as rich as you are, you're down to eating black eyed peas. But Anansi, you know that these days, even nuts that used to be all over the ground, you won't find that anymore. So black eyed peas is not too bad. It's good food. And you know your mother-in-law can really cook. So let me serve you a bowl. Oh, no, 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 no. Actually, I'm in a hurry. The party I'm going to, I can hear it from far off beginning. I can hear the music. it's not, you know, you have to have real good ears to pick up now. But I can hear, so I need to be on my way. Okay, well, let me just put on something a little decent so I can walk you part of the way. So the father-in-law goes inside to get ready. And the moment he left, Anansi realized his stomach was growling. And then he smelled the black-eyed peas cooking. So he got up, looked left, looked right, spun all around to make sure nobody was watching him, and said, oh, I'll just take a look. Even though his black-eyed peas is beginning to smell real good, so I'll just take a look. Anansi goes, opens the pot. Ooh, the smell of well-seasoned black-eyed peas hit him in the face. Bam! He was like, oh. Well, goes to look again to make sure nobody is coming. I'll just taste a little bit. So he takes a spoon and he scoops and he starts eating. He takes the first lick. Ooh, it was so good. And his stomach started growling so badly. Anansi kept scooping the really hot black-eyed peas. It was burning his mouth, but he wasn't even paying attention. He was scooping spoonful after spoonful. And then he started hearing noise at the end where his father-in-law had gone. And so he realized, oh my God, he's coming. Anansi was enjoying the food so much, he decided, no, I've got to find a way of taking this thing with me. So by then he could hear his father-in-law coming closer. He took off his hat, since it was the most available thing near him, poured the black-eyed peas into it, and put his hat back on. So his father-in-law comes, and by the time the father-in-law gets there, Anansi's head is burning from the hot black-eyed peas, so he's just shaking. As for you young people, what's wrong with you? Why are you shaking your head so? It's the new dance. I told you I was going to a party. Yes, you know, we have a new dance and there's a competition. And so I decided I better practice my moves and said, oh, what dance is this? Says, well, it comes with a song. It comes with a song. Masu Jamhara Jamhara. Masu Jamhara Jamhara. Oh, Anansi, that really is a crazy dance. In the song, he's asking his father-in-law, oh, just leave me here. Don't walk too far with me. You know, leave me here, because by now, the dance in my hometown is really kicking, and they're ringing the bells and beating the drums, and it's going wanyo 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 wanyo. So the father-in-law is like, oh, Anansi, let me see you do the dance again. Masu jamhara jamhara, masu jamhara jamhara. The people go shem kromo, oh, so adoma wanyo wanyo, oh, so adoma wanyo wanyo, oh, so adoma wanyo. Oh, Anansi, why don't you teach me the dance so I go with you? You know, I'm here by myself. You know, women, my wife will be on the road talking to everybody. By the time she gets home, it will be late and I'm here by myself. You know, I like you. So teach me the dance so I can go with you. By then, Anansi was dying. He was really dying. The black-eyed peas were cooking on top of his head. And he was really beginning to break into sweat. And some of the black-eyed peas were beginning to leak. And he's, Masu Jamhara Jamhara, Masu Jamhara Jamhara. He couldn't stand it anymore. He pulled off the hat. In fact, the hat scalded his head and took off his hair. And by the time he took the hat off, his head had shrunk to a really almost flat, roundish ball. It wasn't normal. It was just pressed together because the top of his brain cell, all of that, was cooked down. And then he had these, the black eyed peas had cooked and meshed with his head. And on the sides were dripping these long tail-like things coming off his head. When Anansi took off his hat, his father-in-law's eyes popped out of his head. Anansi, I offered you some food. You said it was poor man's food. If you changed your mind, why didn't you just go and get a bowl and serve yourself? Anansi was so ashamed. Meanwhile, he was shrinking. The heat was just cooking him up until he was down to this round little orb and all these long black-eyed pea roots. Anansi was so ashamed. He tried to stand, but he couldn't. And when he tried again, the force of him lifting himself yanked him, and he got stuck in the corner of the roof. And that is why when you look for Anansi these days, you will find Anansi only in corners. So that's the Black Eyed Peas song.
That was the Black Eyed Peas story. I picked up a compilation from the library entitled Third World Voices for Children. And the pervasive theme seems to be Anansi. Anansi seems to be the hero, or at least the godfather of folklore throughout most of the African continent and the Caribbean. And I'm about to read you another Anansi story entitled Anansi and Turtle and Pigeon. And this is from the Caribbean. But right before that, I'm going to play a track of Ghanaian children's music, followed by Louise Bennett's Jamaican Alphabet. Stay tuned.
Bami, banana, and then C is the cocoa, coconut, calaloo. D is for dumpling and duck or no. E is for egg, nourishing for eat. F is for fufu, when you lose your teeth. G is for guava and gungu peas. H is for honey, come straight from the bees. I is for engine cane, make you look strong and well. J is for jackfruit, don't judge by the smell. K is for king fruit, big and juicy them grow. L is for lotus, same thinking too. M is for mango, what a something sweet. N is for gooseberry, smoothness can't beat. O is for okra, it's slippery child. P is for planting, roasted or boiled. Q is squashy, him foodstuff have charms. R rice and peas, Jamaica coat of arms. S is sasumba, with saltfish and rice. T is tangerine, every peg sweet and nice. U is for ugly, it tastes good you see. V is for bickle, that's bickle to me. W watermelon, that's cool in me dear. X is for extra, and that's for me share. Y is for yampy, and also for yam. Z is for zuzu, that's a boy can yam. I can tell you about pineapple, otiti, papa, grapefruit, breadfruit, pumpkin, sweet sap, cassava. And when you don't hear how Jamaica food sweet, you must lick your mouth and get ready for eat.
Turtle once lived next door to Pigeon, and across the road was Anansi's house. Sometimes Turtle and Anansi would stand together and watch Pigeon flying from one housetop to another, from one tree to another.
I wish I could fly with Pigeon, said Turtle.
I wish so too, said Anansi. At last, one day, they went to Pigeon and asked him to teach them to fly. Pigeon took them to the oldest pigeon of all. He looked as wise as an owl and said that they could learn. Then each pigeon pulled out a feather and glued it to the turtle's back until he looked like a pincushion, all full of feathers. Anansi, they said, would have to let Turtle fly first. Next, they took hold of Turtle and flew up into the air. Soon they reached Tiger's cornfield. Every day the pigeons went there and took Tiger's corn. When they got there, they took their feathers away from Turtle, gave him a large bag, and told him to pick up the grains of corn from the ground. So they all picked up corn, and Turtle picked up corn too. Then they heard a noise. The pigeons all stood still and lifted up their heads. A second or two later, the oldest pigeon flapped his wings and rose up, and all the other pigeons rose and flapped their wings as well, and flew away, leaving Turtle all by himself in the cornfield. Anansi saw the pigeons return home, but there was no Turtle with them. Turtle was left in the middle of the field, and there the watchman found him with a bag of corn.
So it's you, Turtle, is it? You are the thief that comes and steals Tiger's corn.
No, cried Turtle. No, my sweet watchman. Ask Anansi if you doubt me. It is the pigeons that come stealing the corn.
What are you doing here then? Asked the watchman.
Oh, my sweet watchman, cried Turtle. Ask Anansi if you doubt me. I told the pigeons that I wanted to fly, and they lent me feathers and I came with them. But I am not stealing corn.
Well, said the watchman,
I never yet saw a turtle fly.
You must come with me.
And he put Turtle in a pail of water and took him to the tiger's house. Now Turtle remembered what Anansi had told him. Anansi once said,
Turtle, when you don't know what to say, when you don't know what to do, just sing.
So Turtle began to sing. He sang so sweetly that the watchman began to dance, and he danced until he spilled all the water out of the pail. Then Turtle called out,
if you let me walk, I will sing so sweetly.
But the watchman said no. At last they came to Tiger's house, and Tiger came out to see Turtle.
Ah, said Tiger. Call a cook.
Tiger told the cook he was to stew Turtle for supper, and then he went off to invite his relations and friends to come and enjoy the meal with him. Now the cook was mixing all the onions and pimento together, and Turtle remembered what Anansi had said, and Turtle began to sing. He sang so sweetly again that the cook began to dance. Then Turtle said, "My sweet cook, if you will only put me on the ground outside, I will sing so sweetly." The cook put Turtle outside, and he sang more sweetly than ever, and the cook danced all the time. Then Turtle said, "Oh, my sweet cook, if you will take me just to the river and put just the tip of my tail in the water, I will sing more sweetly than ever." The cook took Turtle to the river and put just the tip of his tail in the water, and Turtle sang more sweetly than ever, and the cook danced and danced, but soon she heard no singing, and she looked down. There was Turtle at the bottom of the river, and Turtle waved his hand and swam away, and the cook dared not go back to the tiger's house. That is why, from that day to this, no one cooks tiger's food for him. The end. The next story is not from the Caribbean, but from Africa. Not really sure which country in Africa, because the book doesn't say, but it's entitled How the Milky Way Came to Be. Stay tuned. There, in the sky, there are billions of stars. No one knows how many, because no one can count them. And to think that among them is a bright road which is made of wood ashes, nothing else. Long ago, the sky was pitch black at night, but people learned in time to make fires to light up the darkness. One night, a young girl, who sat warming herself by the wood fire, played with the ashes. She took the ashes in her hands and threw them up to see how pretty they were when they floated in the air. And as they floated away, she put more wood on the fire and stirred it with a stick. Bright sparks flew everywhere and wafted high, high into the night, and they hung in the air and made a bright road across the sky, looking like silver and diamonds. And there, the road is to this day. Some people call it the Milky Way. Some call it the Stars Road, but no matter what you call it, it is the path made by a young girl many, many years ago who threw the bright sparks of her fire high up into the sky to make a road in the darkness. The end. Thank you.
Steve.